Welcome everyone, this is All About Windows Phone Insight Podcast 223, recording this on 19th of July 2017. Mr. Rafe Blanford is away on vacation, but I'm Steve Litchfield and I have a special guest to fill in for Rafe. I have Jason Snowden. Hi there.
Hello there, thank you for having me on again.
No worries. Where can people find you online? Where can people find you hanging out?
So Twitter I'm on occasionally. I'm on Facebook more, but that's for families and friends abroad, but welcome to try. But yeah, just at Jason Snowden on Twitter. I am on Google Plus occasionally. I'm sure I'll pay attention if somebody doesn't knock me up there.
I know that, like me, you, like most geeks, you probably have more than one phone. So assuming that you would I think it's a Lumia 950 is your main smartphone. What, do you have a backup or one in your other pocket?
Do you know, I don't actually. And I've been very, very sorely tempted of late to do that. I have access to my other half Samsung and daughter's iPhone. But I've just stuck with a Lumia. And it's really weird. I've been very, very close of late. But it just does everything I need. And even the little things, there was an Amazon Prime thing I was considering, and I think I put it on the AWP, and so we still have a third-party app for that, and there is. So as yet, I'm still sticking to one.
Well, you have
perhaps
my
amazingly.
Absolute admiration. I put up a piece a week or so ago saying I tried 24 hours with nothing but a Windows 10 mobile phone, i.e. no laptop even, no tablet, no computers, no other smartphones, just the Windows phone. And it wasn't too bad for productivity stuff. We covered this on last week's podcast, but I did kind of come a cropper on some of the shopping and more ledger activities. So well done.
Yeah, well, I mean, I noticed on some of that, a lot of the video stuff, like the Amazon Prime Video, which I think you have found a workaround.
Yeah,
I don't actually use, not on my phone anyway. I use it on a smart TV, and similarly Netflix smart TV. So there is probably a use case thing there, but I do think there is probably also, because I've used it for so long now, I'm probably just not aware of not missing. Perhaps if I got an Android, then I'd probably see that there's this whole other world of stuff that I could use. But yeah, I'm happy with what I've got.
Because one of the things I do quite a bit on my phone, and people are often puzzled, but I do anyway, is watch media, whether it's YouTube or Netflix or Prime Video or whatever, or just local video on an SD card, just sitting and waiting for my family and so forth. It's just a source of entertainment that is everywhere with me. And I want to just link slinkly into this new Alcatel Idol 4 Pro. And we actually have a new piece of hardware, well, to the UK at least, and to Europe, coming out running Windows 10 Mobile, which is kind of unexpected at this stage in the operating system's development and in the public perception that Windows 10 Mobile is perhaps going away. And here we have brand new hardware. Now, you've seen the launch story, Jason. First of all, does the Alcatel Idol 4 Pro appeal to you?
Well, it does. I mean, in fact, in some ways it does. Reading your review, it reminded me exactly what I thought when I saw it just on when it was advertised originally, which was, oh, that looks really boring, Alcatel, blah, blah, blah. Then as you get now to the specs, you think, oh, hang on a minute, fingerprint sensor, it's faster. Oh, yeah, this actually could be quite good. So I think the only stumbling block, if anything, is just the camera. And that's the real sort of king that's in the Lumia. That's the one thing that really, really makes it shine, that it has got such a good camera. So well, I'm no camera buff. Perhaps I need a better camera to help me, I think, probably. I'm no camera buff, but that would the only thing that would stop me. But it is a real surprise. And it has come up out as an Android version as well, hasn't it? So, if I understand rightly,
yes,
the release.
The Android version actually came out about a year ago. I mean, this is a year down the line, and this has subtly different specifications. I think it's got more internal capacity, but it goes from a QHD screen down to 1080p, which I don't think is necessarily a problem. Maybe it's just my eyesight and my age, Jason. How are your eyes? Are you 20/20?
I'm not quite 2020, so I think I wouldn't notice the difference either.
The reason I linked this story slinkly as I did was because, of course, watching all this video locally on a phone, you know, while I'm doing chores, waiting in the car, or wherever I am, of course, this dual front-facing JBL-branded speakers on this. I mean, I've tried I reviewed the Alcatel Idol 3 and Idol 4 and the Idol 4S as part of my sort of phone show work on my video podcast. And I loved those big booming speakers. And to have those speakers on a Windows 10 mobile phone. That's going to be a unique combination for me, and that may well mean that I can kind of put other phones to one side for a while, because I start watching a YouTube video or something on the 950 and XL or even 950, and it's the speaker's about a quarter of the volume of some of my other phones, and it's blasting away from me at the back of the phone. This will have them pointing in the right direction, and much higher quality, and much better EQ. And the whole price of the Idol 4 Pro is £420, including VAT, which I know is probably expensive if you compare it like for like exactly with some of the Android world, but I don't think it's too outrageous. Your views?
No, I agree. It isn't too outrageous, and again, your comment on the speakers is speaks to that classic use case scenario, because all my listening of anything, podcasts and music, which I do use my 954, is all through headphones, particularly Bluetooth headphones of late, which I found brilliant. So I don't use the speakers that much, and when I do, I'm not that bothered. It's just because I just can't bother plugging the headphones, or I can't because I'm in the shower or something. So though they do sound good, and it'd be again interesting to see if I got them. Then those better speakers, whether I'd suddenly appreciate it, but as it is for now, I wouldn't. But the price certainly is a lot more reasonable, and again, it speaks back to some of the pricing that we've heard, that Microsoft, when they were earlier, the 950s came out, they were a bit too high. They weren't that far off this really, but they were still too high. I mean, it's a very odd thing for Alcatel to bring that out, don't you think? Presumably they haven't just got the parts lying around that specifically fit all the European bands. Oh, well, let's just put it out anyway. But there must be some sort of strategy to this, I would have thought, but I don't know.
They certainly do have some of the parts, because this is TCL, a big Chinese OEM, and this is essentially, a lot of the hardware is identical to the Idol 4S with Windows 10 over in the States. So basically, it's a variant on that with slightly different mobile chipsets and with slightly different storage and so forth. But I think this is a genuine attempt to do something different, that the Android world is so ubiquitous and so commoditized. I think Alcatel are just throwing their hat in the ring here and saying, well, let's just try this in Europe. There may also be an element, they've got an agreement with Microsoft whereby back a year or so ago they said, yes, we will do a phone with your OS, and we'll launch it in America as an exclusive, and then we'll bring it to Europe, and that's basically what they're doing. I noticed that Microsoft is not exactly shouting about it on its website. You do kind of have to dig two or three levels deep in the website UI in order to find this as one of the quote new arrivals. I really wish they'd highlight it more in their front page, for example. But yeah, I'm kind of torn. I've ordered one. I want to see this in person. I want to try it out. I want to see how it performs. The camera, yes, will be a step down from the Lumia 950. But then let's face it, every single phone in the world is still a step down from the 950, certainly in terms of sheer image quality. So this, I'm really quite optimistic about this Idol 4 Pro, and I can't wait for it to arrive sometime next week.
Yeah, I certainly look forward to your review, Stephen, and see what the difference is on that camera, and how much of it is just a contract filling album before the band splits up or not. That'll be interesting to see.
yeah, but certainly it'd be fascinating to know the sales numbers. I mean, I don't expect they're going to sell millions and millions of this, but there are certainly plenty of enthusiasts for whom a Snapdragon 820 powered handset with 4 gig of RAM that's not stupid Elite X3 priced, with the really good speakers rather than the naff speakers of the Elite X3. I think it's got quite a bit going for it. Just to go run down the rest of the specs, it just has 64 gigabyte internal plus micro SD. It has the full 4K video capture, but of course no optical stabilization, just the software stabilization. Though in fairness, I mean, I don't know whether you take video on your phones, but the software stabilization in Windows 10 camera is actually quite good as well.
Yeah, I agree. I do bits of video sometimes to take a 4K picture out of it, and other times to sort of snap that little scene. And yeah, I think the stabilization is very good. I think if anything, you may correct me if I'm wrong, but a lot of the physical stabilization is probably better for night shots when you're doing just still pictures, which is probably where that really kicks in. But it'll be really interesting to see your reviews on it, particularly given all the other phones you review around the other sort of ecosystem, see how it sits in this sort of mid 2017.
Yeah, Yeah, and of course it's a premium bill. I use the word in quotes because not everyone likes glass front and back in it. I guess you are going to have to use it in a case some of the time because it will break if you drop it onto concrete. But it certainly feels... you must have felt the Lumia 650, Jason. And this from my remembering reviewing the Alcatel Idol 4 and 4S on Android, feels very, very similar in terms of the feel in the hand, the feel of cold metal, cold glass all the time, which again is not something we're used to seeing in the sort of Lumia world.
No, that's true, and I have seen the 650. I've seen the 650. I still see it these days, actually, in a lot of colleagues in business in work use, because they've been issued quite a few of those of that sort of era, which is again is a bit of an oddity. But yeah, I see a lot of them helping a lot of friends with those as well, as they're obviously not used to the sort of Windows UI. But yeah, that again, that'll be an interesting thing. I wonder if there are any stores that will stock it for people to be able to appreciate that. That sort of premium feel and how much better it feels than perhaps the 950 without, say, a Mozo case on it.
Yeah. Just one final thing. There's a fingerprint reader, of course, sensor.
Yeah.
And it's pretty fast, as opposed to the Lumia 950 XL and the 950, which I think were ahead of their time. Microsoft clearly could have aimed ahead of the curve with the Iris scanner on the devices, which does work, but let's face it, it's pretty slow. I mean, how do you use it much of the time, or do you use a pin or... gesture?
I use obviously you have to have the pin if you have the Iris scanner, so I do use the Iris scanner. Yeah. But you're right, I do find it's very limited, and I'll usually stare at it as long as I can be interested in the Bing page of the day, and then if it hasn't unlocked, I'll swipe up. Yeah. But yeah, and also the Alcatel benefit over the HP, because obviously HP did have the fingerprint scanner, but I don't think the OS or some of the other hooks into the firmware of Windows 10 Mobile were quite ready for that when it first came out. So I think obviously Alcatel will benefit with this coming out with a much more mature OS, particularly for the fingerprint scanner. That's one really big thing that I wish the Lumia 950 had, to be honest, the fingerprint scanner.
Yeah, absolutely. And coming out, launching out of the box with the Windows 10 Mobile Creators Update, which Redstone 2, which I have said is smoother and faster, I think that will also benefit it. So not only the fact that it's got full support for all the hardware, but it will actually be faster. Not, as you say, the millions of people out there are going to start coming in droves just because we finally got a fast and speedy, reasonably priced Windows 10 mobile smartphone. But hey, I can dream.
I don't know. It's a good job I'm not on a website with a buy now clip button anywhere near me. Actually, all this talk is getting me thinking that I might actually go and get one.
Well, there we are. Just follow the links from the front page of AWP, and you are there, Mr. Snowden. Or absolutely, you can just wait for my review. It's also Continuum ready, and it doesn't come with a dock, but you can basically plug in the Lumia 950's dock or the HP one, and they both work fine. Indeed, the HP Continuum lap dock, ridiculously priced as it is, if you see one of those, that will also work, I suspect, with this Idol 4 Pro. So I think Continuum stroke USB Type-C is fairly ubiquitous and fairly compatible.
Yeah, I mean, Continuum, I still think the wireless display adapter is the absolute way. I was just using it this evening, actually, looking at all their plans for the summer, and it's fantastic, and it's seamless. I think the dock made what should be something simple and easy look a lot harder and more complicated than it needed to be, but that's my view anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. The wireless adapter is brilliant. Just leave it plugged in the back of the big TV and connect when you need to. But I think the Microsoft dock and the HP ones are for when a more permanent installation where you're kind of hot desking and you arrive in an office and plug in and it's powering and charging the phone and not draining the phone's battery and all of that. So it's all a matter of your use case, yeah.
Yeah, agreed.
You actually linked and mentioned a story running on a rival site, which is actually quoting a Joe Belfiore video interview in which he confirmed something that we've kind of been suspecting, that Windows 10 on ARM, and I put all of that in quotes, in 2018, isn't coming to existing smartphones. And now I kind of taken this for granted because they said right when Windows 10 on ARM was launched that it would need a Snapdragon 835 chipset. And so therefore, by definition, we don't have any smartphones running with that chipset in the Windows 10 mobile world. Therefore, none of the phones will get an upgrade to this. But there's also the fact that running Windows 32 emulated desktop apps, which is what Windows 10 and ARM is all about, bringing classic Windows apps to ARM chipsets, none of those applications, whether it's Photoshop or PaintShop Pro or some banking app, whatever it is, if it's designed for even an 800p desktop or laptop screen, Windows 32 executable running in this emulated environment of Windows 10 on ARM, and it's all wonderful and magical. Now you try running that interface on a 5.5-inch phone screen, it's going to be a complete nightmare. There's no way they could make that work. So I do think this is something of a non-story.
Yeah, I agree on that front, and I think they headed it surprise without quotes for that same reason. And I also agree, as has been said, I think certainly by yourself before, that given the timescale, to have to get a new device to run the new OS in some ways isn't too surprising, or certainly to get it running in a full sense. There may be some kind of Windows 7.8 scenario where maybe Windows 10 Mobile gets something of an extra upgrade that makes it similar-ish. I don't know. Maybe that's not possible at all. But certainly the idea that you'd have to get a new phone to get the new version at that point in time doesn't surprise me. It's not 6 months after the 950 has been out. It's going to be well on for at least 2 years, isn't it? So I don't think that's too much surprise or a concern. I think what I found interesting in the piece, and I don't know how much of this was interpretation by that site, but there's certainly a lot of talk, obviously, about, as you said, it's not going to be another phone. They're not just going to bring out another phone. This will be a, quote, mobile device. And there's talk about the foldable device. And it's something I've been thinking recently, that if it's just a 6-7 inch foldable device that opens out even bigger, but when you fold it down, it basically looks just like a bigger Windows phone, i.e. like a 1520. Even that, if it's under the hood, it's running full Windows 10, can do all this Win32 stuff, and Continuum is fully enabled from the C-shell stuff as well. That in itself, still to me, on a software level, doesn't feel like a big enough jump, because essentially that's just a bigger Windows phone with a foldable screen. So I do wonder, there was talk about how, in that Joe was saying, how you know just running something to get it specifically on ARM, there's a lot of extra work you have to do. We need to think something differently and make sure this is full Windows 10. So I do wonder if there is even talk that the actual front-end interface that we now see on Windows 10, that was really carried through pretty much from Windows Phone 7, it's obviously been adapted and modified, but it is essentially the same tiled interface. I do wonder if that may even change. And obviously, there's a certain element of that on the start screen of Windows 10, so to what extent it can change, I do wonder. And I suppose I hark back a little bit to a talk we had a while back when I talked about the heresy of having things scrolling around a bit more like Android. But I wonder if there is this kind of stuff in the air that they're thinking, well, actually, we need to make it look different for this to really sort of land in the market as being different. Otherwise, it's a big foldable Windows phone, isn't it?
Yes. Did you see the Microsoft Azure programming course concept image? I outed it a couple of days ago on the site, and a few other sites picked it up. I'm not sure all of them agreed with my interpretation. Have a look at the photograph now if you can, Jason. And it kind of looks like what you're talking about. It looks like a 1520 sized phablet with an entire extra screen folded round the back. And then we've already seen these patent applications from Microsoft, whereby the two halves then snap together magnetically, and the side bezel-less screens then form one contiguous whole, the idea being that your two 1520 screens mate up perfectly to form something in the region of a 9-inch tablet, like a sort of iPad equivalent, or maybe even a small Surface Pro type screen. This does seem doable. I think that is genuinely interesting. I do agree it's not going to be so mass market revolutionary that it'll make the Christmas top 10 bestsellers, but I think it's certainly interesting enough to get an awful lot of people's attention in the world.
Yeah, perhaps so. They've got to make that fold work. I mean, I think, as many have said, the thing about the whole touchscreen interface is that seamlessness. If there's that, there is going to have to be some sort of ripple in between in the connection, but they're going to have to try and smooth that as the best they can. That'll be quite a hardware challenge, I'd imagine. But yeah, I do wonder whether, that, like I say, they're thinking of something slightly more radical that not only makes it look different, but also takes the hints from the market that Android and iPhone work a certain way, and perhaps that's something they need to go down. But you're right, on the other hand, it maybe isn't going for the top 10 in the Christmas list. In fact, it's really going for the IT specialist in the middle of some large corporation who's sick of having to update stuff with mobile and still got old BlackBerries, want this to change everything, sees this and think, aha, this is the solution for my our corporation in terms of mobile working and that desk working. So you're right. And also, it would certainly, either way, a folding attachable screen would again be a whole new hardware concept. Again, if they can get it to work to that kind of level that the Surface did, which obviously really brought new ground. That would be a very interesting concept, and would certainly at least mark a change in hardware again, as I say, as they've done, which, in fairness, we haven't seen very much change in the hardware, certainly in the styling of even the sort of business class smartphones. There's not much going on with, other than bringing back QWERTY keyboards here and there.
Yeah. No, the Surface hardware, Surface Pro range, for example, really, really well made. And I can see if this is the Surface division making this, which it would be, then they would make it to the same standard, and the hinges would be robust and they wouldn't fall apart. Because the biggest thing, obviously, with moving parts in the phone, or a palm top in my case, going back to the old Scions, is that the more moving parts you have, the more there is to break. But if the Surface division is making it, then I have got some degree of confidence. I think this could be interesting. I'm going to go on out on a limb and say this is a real product. We're obviously looking there at a concept image of it, but I think that's the way it's going. It ties in with everything I've heard coming from sources, everything I've seen from patents, whatever. I think this will be launched sometime in spring 2018. I think it'll probably be called Surface Mobile is my guess. Maybe not Surface Phone, maybe Surface Mobile. And it will be seen as a business stroke premium stroke enterprise productivity solution, in the same way that Surface itself is. Does that sound vaguely familiar and right?
Yeah, maybe you're right. Yeah, and that's certainly all the stuff that you're right. All the stuff that's been coming out heads towards that. And it's interesting that it's been sort of leaked, almost, it seems, in this sort of video or still that's nothing to do with the actual device itself. It's just like a side. Oh, we just happened to throw in the concept for the new mobile device in there. Whoops. It's interesting. Maybe there is a bit of testing the market there and seeing how people react. I don't know. But I'm certainly holding on to my 950, partly in the hope that all the work that has been gone on, and certainly the sort of quietness that we're seeing around the mobile end of Microsoft now, is building towards something that will be truly different and revolutionary and interesting. And obviously, like any company, you know, Microsoft going to have to show the benefits of that and make it right for those people who are considering it. But if they can, I think that might be my next mobile device, and I'll stop calling it a phone.
It's very interesting, actually, to see quite whether there will be any kind of backwards compatibility. People in various trade shows, I think WinHack over in Asia, they were showing the Windows 10 on ARM running on an Elite X3, which shows that it's possible. It doesn't mean that it runs well. It doesn't mean that it runs in a bomb-proof fashion, but it shows that something is possible there. And I do wonder, as we get closer and into the start of 2018, whether there will be insider builds for people who are really brave to reflash their phone, and it certainly won't be an over-the-air update. But if they said to you, Jason, for example, in January 2018, hey, fastering insiders with Lumia 950XL, if you want, it won't be a great experience, but if you want, you can play with the next generation of software. Here's the .exe to run on your laptop, and it will flash Windows 10 on ARM over to your 950XL. Just don't recommend it to any of your friends or family. Would you jump at that?
Yeah, I would, because as we started off saying about having another phone, in fact, my other phone is a Lumia 950. So I would use it on that one, and I would jump at the chance. That would be fantastic. I still... As I say, just using Continuum as it is now, to me, is a phenomenal experience. It's not perfect, but if they can develop that even further to put the PC version onto a mobile device, I think that really has legs, and it really will be interesting. And like you say, maybe there are bits of the extreme use of Photoshop and other stuff that will never be usable, and maybe it will always be that bit slower, but perhaps there are some bits of it that can be made useful and make it more... at least keep some of the updates into sort of the new Windows 10 on ARM era.
I think you might need to upgrade a bit, Jason. I hesitate to make you spend more money, but I have just a sneaking feeling that if we do see some kind of entry into the insider system for this new next generation Windows 10 on ARM, for people who are willing to take the risk, I think it might be limited to Snapdragon 820 and above. So that Idle 4 Pro might actually be a good buy after all, ready for next year. Who knows?
Yeah, maybe so.
a couple of other stories up on the site. The screens and resolutions through the ages. This is a nice piece I linked to over on GSM Arena, and it really shows how far we've come. I mean, I remember, obviously, I came from all about Symbian days, and the Nokia N95 2.6-inch screen. N95 8 gig seemed enormous at 2.8, and then we got to ridiculous devices like the Galaxy Nexus on Android came out with a 4.7-inch screen in about, I'm tempted to say, 2010, 2011, and we thought, this is just insane. Who on earth would want this huge slab of plastic? And here we are now, a 4.7-inch is considered a compact phone. To take us through your own sort of rough history, where do you enter and fall on the GSM Arena's curves?
Yeah, well, I suppose I'm in a similar sort of place. I'm not quite sure I've seen that particular stories to know exactly what you mean, but in terms of my evolution, certainly gone through sort of the 950, the N95, N86, and really entered into touch phones with the N9. And again, it seems amazing to me. I thought that was just a perfect right size, and then as they've got the full quality keyboard, it was a little bit tight. Oh yeah, we need it a bit bigger. But it's amazing, it's got bigger and bigger, and even to the point, you know, where I was, some of the sort of larger sort of things got beyond 4, 4.5, thinking, oh, that's silly, that's going to bend in your pocket, who'd want that? But you're right, I think we are definitely on that move, and it's going to be interesting to see where it ends. I think that there might, I don't know if there'll be a gender divide, because obviously ladies' handbags, certainly in the UK, are generally bigger than men's pockets. So fashion may dictate to where this can end. But certainly for myself, my 950 is quite nice. I didn't get the XL because I thought it was a bit bigger, but I do have occasions now where I think, was that the right decision? Maybe I should have got the XL. So perhaps I'm still on that evolution myself. I don't know.
Yeah, I think there's a bit of a backlash to big phones. We've seen quite a few phones come out now with larger screens, but much smaller bezels. And the Samsung Galaxy S8 over in the Android world is kind of typifies that, really. In fairness, the 950 XL has got very slim bezel, top, bottom and sides, and the 950 is not too bad. So we've been pretty used, actually, to having most of our front of our devices being screen, especially if you swipe away the virtual controls. Just a data point, Jason. How often do you do that? I find myself doing that whenever I'm, say, I'll know I'll be in Tweetium or Edge or something for a good 5 minutes, just doing some work, doing some browsing. The very first thing I do is swipe away those controls, and all of a sudden I've got the full 5.7-inch screen rather than sort of 5.4. Is it just me?
No, I do it absolutely all the time, probably more than is necessary, just because I just prefer the look. I think it feels so much nicer just having the full screen with whatever an app, even if it's AAWP or it's just a Edge with a news showing. Yeah, I definitely swipe it away. And in the Edge browser, especially now, because you can use the swipe controls to go back and forwards, there's less and less reason to have that there. So I swipe the controls all the time. And I do prefer it. Yeah, it just looks so much nicer having the full screen. It just feels a bit more modern, nearly like Westworld, but not quite.
The other thing you get on the 950 XL, I don't know whether this, I may be speaking wrongly here, Jason, but if you bring up the multitasking carousel on the 950 XL, you get 4 apps per screen at a time. So you're swiping through panels of 4, whereas on the 950, you've got the standard sort of 1 at a time. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah, I think I've seen it on the XL. On mine, yeah, you're right. I think you do get 4 because it is that bigger screen, or on the carousel. I'm in two minds on that, because one thing I do like with the single pane carousel, a lot of times on an email that might have, say, a password, you know, you get a password reset, you get a funny password, you have to try and remember, and you only can remember half of it. You can actually zoom in on the email and then go to the web page you're entering, but then hold the carousel and swipe it without engaging it into the full screen, just peek, and you can see that it's still zoomed in, then zoom back, and it just makes it feel that bit quicker, especially when you know some websites, as soon as you come out of it, it'll just refresh again. You're like, oh, I'm back at the beginning. So I don't know. Yeah, but that said, again, having that sort of 4 panel, it just brings across again that idea, that feel of it being more than just a phone, and more like a sort of almost PC like tablet type device that's got this extra functionality, because you can put all these different apps running, and it sort of feels that bit better.
I'm trying to remember what the X3 had. I haven't used it for a few months, so I honestly can't remember. I'll certainly be able to try it on the Idol 4 Pro. It'll be interesting to see how that goes in terms of, I guess that's a 5.5-inch screen. It's right between the 950 and 950 XL, so all bets are off. But I will let people know when I get it. The very fact that you hadn't seen that screen resolution story, Jason, fills me in with the clue that you haven't seen the show notes, which mean you, which I did send you an invite, which means you don't know about the other couple of apps I wanted to mention before we go. One is Flight's Radar Universal Windows Platform app. This is you're familiar with Flight Radar 24 from the last few years, I presume?
Yeah, I am. And I did see that story, actually. I've downloaded it already and bought and paid out the advert straight away, definitely.
Opinion?
Yeah, I liked it. I think your review was definitely fair. It looks quite nice, and it has the beginnings of a lot of functionality, or the pointers towards it. It just doesn't always quite work as quick as it could or should, and B, as smoothly, particularly on the speed thing. Because at the end of the day, sometimes you sat around thinking, oh, well, that plane is flying overhead. Launch app. Oh dear, it's gone. So I think that certainly needs to be addressed. But that's why I was particularly keen to support the developer and, you know, take out the ads for the extra pound or whatever it was. I mean, gosh, that's next to nothing for apps, isn't it? Especially going back to the old days. So I was happy to do that, and hopefully that'll help the developer move forward and just show that, you know, whatever they say, Windows Phone may not be have as many developers as all they did, but it's certainly not dead by any comparison.
Yeah, I just wanted to also highlight one other application, also UWP, and this is premium. It's normally £80, roughly, and it's on sale at about £17 at the moment, which may fill you with horror, but this is ultra, ultra specialist and yet ultra, ultra interesting. It's called KNFB Reader, and it basically, for the visually impaired, it lets you hold your Windows 10 mobile phone over a document or anything printed, really, and it will, in kind of real time, let you, or semi-real time, lets you press an icon using TalkBack or accessibility. It captures whatever's in front of you on a photograph and then OCRs it and then reads it back to you in terms of text. So you could literally go to a museum as a visually impaired or blind person, use this application, position your phone roughly over something, some display, some exhibit, tap an icon on the phone screen, and it would just start reading the text of that exhibit, of that document, to you over the phone's loudspeaker or your headphones. I think that's just a really cool idea. And I appreciate why it's so premium, because the developers have spent a lot of money on this and developing it, and they're not going to get millions of sales. It's such a specialist app, so they have to make their money on the people who really do need it. And I think it's a great app.
That sounds really good. And so I haven't seen that app. I would be tempted by that, because one thing I do find when you go to these kind of museums, particularly when you're with family who don't want to read the plaque, you don't get the time to also then see the exhibit. So if you could have something reading out to you while you were looking at the exhibit, be it a sculpture or some historical, you know, monument or anything, that would actually be really, really helpful. And I think it also helps particularly in the kind of immersive sense of these kind of exhibitions. And there's actually been lots of, you're probably aware, there's lots of exhibitions that have tried to adapt this sort of into this immersive, and most of them obviously give you a set of headset and something to read out to you, but obviously you have to go around at the same order that the tape or whatever is playing, and you know, obviously that kind of ruins the experience. Whereas having something that you can use with your own device, you don't have to get something special, you know, a set tape, how old am I, some proper little MP3 player to do it, but just use your own phone. I would find that useful. I'm not sure if it's quite worth £17, but I am certainly tempted, because I really do. That is on. I'm always the person where the family have run off, they've seen it, and I'm still reading. I want to read about it too, you know.
Yeah. Well, of course, you could also just photograph the appropriate thing and then read it later on. And of course, you could also use Office Lens to photograph it and transcribe it via server-based OCR into a Word document, and later on read the Word document. But I think the attraction here is that it's a one-stop shop for a visually impaired person, not necessarily you, Jason, but whatever they're faced with, something with lots of text in front of them to get an immediate audio readback of something that a sighted person would just start reading. So I think it's a really nice example of a well-done UWP that was a very niche existence, but one that is worth supporting, I think.
Yeah, and does it work quite smoothly then? Is it sort of fully functional?
I was too stingy to pay the £17 because I am fully sighted and I didn't need it. But I saw enough of the documentation and the screenshots to think this has been really well done. It's been well thought out. And if the rest of the visually impaired community is anything to go by, and I've got several people who've been on my PSC podcast as blind guests, they help each other, they test everything to within an inch of its life, and there's always great support. So if anyone out there is listening and you've got visual impairment, then do seek out KNFB Reader, UWP app for Windows 10, presumably for you could even run it on a Surface tablet as well, I guess, and or a phone. So highly recommended, and do let me know if anybody out there is it taken with this and tries it out. I'd like to know what the performance is like in real life, as would Jason.
Yeah.
We're out of time. Jason, I know you've got to head off. Thank you very much for coming on and sharing your thoughts, and we'll catch up with you maybe in a few months' time.
Yeah, that'd be great. Thanks. And hopefully I'll get time to read the show notes that time.
All right. And also, by then, you might even have a new toy to play with, as will I. So.
Yes, you certainly will. All right. Anyway, thank you very much.
Bye for now, and thanks for listening, everyone. This has been the Insight Podcast. Catch you next week.
Cheers.